In order to think, you must write, especially on pen and paper. It's the tool of all great thinkers and philosophers and creatives. The notebook remains the best place to learn and to reflect and to truly understand the ideas you care about. It's the backbone of your self-education. And don't get me wrong, digital notes are fantastic. I use them every day, but they lack something. They just lack the fluidity of the pen. They lack the mind-muscle connection that is scientifically proven to help you learn better. And let's be real, it's just not as cool. It doesn't have that appeal. Digital notes also come with the very real risk of becoming overcomplicated and even thoughtless or straight up lazy. And I know it sounds like I'm switching up on my day ones here, but trust me, it's not like that. You'll see. Coming up, we'll look at why pen and paper are so great for your learning. We'll look at some of the benefits that note-taking apps just can't compete with, and also some techniques on how you can actually get it started yourself. One good maxim is that the more convenient, easy, or quick something is, the less you learn. Because I see all the time on YouTube these videos, how to learn anything fast, how to learn anything effortlessly. And it's like, are you new here? Is this your first day? Because being quick is one thing, sure, but it's not supposed to be easy. Learning is a struggle, it's hard work, it's friction, and it's those very things which are responsible for your learning. And if you seek to remove them, nothing's happening. You're taking shortcuts, you're doing bullshit tricks and dancing up and down for nothing. Now the point is not to torture ourselves, but to see that struggle as a precursor to learning. And one way you can integrate that is to slow down the flow of ideas. But what do I mean by that? Well, let's say in one case you want to learn something. So you pull up a video, you put it on 3x speed, and then you tap away some cute little bullet points on the side, your key takeaways. And it's like, what did you learn? Nothing really, let's be honest. You're going to forget it an hour later, definitely a day later, most certainly a week later. Because there was no slowness, there was nothing to hold you back and process the ideas. Whereas if you switch to pen and paper, well, now there's a healthy constraint. You have to slow down because you can't possibly write faster than, well, slow. Handwriting makes you put the effort in, and you actually have to understand what's in front of you. And you know, reluctantly, I have to admit, this isn't just a schizophrenic theory of mine. There is actual scientific evidence to back this up. It shows that handwriting as opposed to typing, it helps you retain more, it engages more of the brain, which I guess is good, who knows, and it's also more fun. I believe it has something to do with the fact that every single pen stroke, every single letter and circle and line has intent behind it. And that connection between your hand and your brain, it just engages you far more than, you know, inputting something on a keyboard. On paper, there's also no way to cheat with AI or to copy and paste or to skim the page and be lazy. You really have to do the work yourself. And while it is more effort in the present, you're going to thank yourself in 5 years when you're just sharper and you've learned more and you know what you're talking about. Also, for any learning, you need good source material. And Skillshare have always been reliable for me, and they are today's sponsor. Skillshare are a massive online hub for all things creative, hosting classes on everything from video editing to watercolor to graphic design, and of course, writing and note-taking. I even used the course to research for this video and learn some new techniques myself. This one was called Draw Your Notes, an Intro to Visual Note-Taking. And it put me onto this pillars layout, for example, which was a nice discovery that I never really used beforehand, but now I know. Classes are made by people with passion, who can distill years of experience and hard work into an approachable format, which is just what we need when starting a new hobby or refining our existing skills. That was exactly what I needed when I first used Skillshare to learn the basics of cameras and editing, for example. And what I like is that you're given projects that help you apply what you learn and solidify new skills. To try Skillshare for yourself, you can click the link in the description or scan the QR code on screen. And the first 500 people to do so will get a 1 month free trial. So have fun exploring and thank you to Skillshare. The second benefit of handwriting is that it's far more fluid than typing is. Because when you use Obsidian or Notion or any of these other apps, it's quite restrictive. You're stuck with these columns of text, these linear lines and blocks and markdown paragraphs. It doesn't give you much freedom to move around. And yes, you can buy an expensive drawing tablet, you can get plugins, you can do all this nerdy GitHub stuff. It's like, yeah, fuck that, no thanks. But in general, for the average Joe, it's going to be restrictive. On paper, you have total sovereignty. You can just do things. You're free to open up the page, to keep your notes flexible and dynamic, and actually adapt them to each specific situation. Because, you know, the approach is going to be different every time, and you have the freedom to do that now with paper. And let me tell you, I make use of that. I make mind maps. I make stupid diagrams. I make not so stupid diagrams. I do tables and arrows and bullet points. I split the page in half. I color things. I number things. I do whatever I feel like doing to help me learn in that precise moment. I can do anything and everything I want to, which just isn't as easy online. I hate to say it, but it's true. In a way, it's also way nicer to have this spatial sort of angle of your notes. This freedom is also great for problem solving, because I don't know about you, but when I want to figure something out or really understand something, it just feels easier on paper because I have that freedom to make those connections, to have this overwatch over it. And that isn't, I don't know why, it's just not as possible when you're typing. You don't have the freedom to pick things apart and dissect them and move them around and do all these little fine tunings. And let's be real, it's the most fun part. I like to draw my bullshit doodles. I like to do diagrams. I like to visually represent things. It's fun. Maybe you're thinking, well, these notes he's showing us on screen, they're ugly as fuck. And that's because you're right. They are. They are really horrible. They're messy. And I don't mind that. Because I'm not making an art piece here. I'm not trying to transcribe something like a monk copying away. I'm thinking out loud. This is a canvas for my thoughts. And, the mind is a very messy place. It's confused. It's busy. Nothing's really going on and everything's going on at the same time. And what you're doing here in your notebook is clearing that up. You're thinking out loud. You're giving a space for all these things that interact. So it can be messy, and I welcome that. Now listen, you can be neater than me. You can use colors, highlighters, rulers, all this stuff. I think it's a waste of time, but again, it's just me, and you are you. And I am me, are you?
I am me, he's me, and I'm you.
And I'm about to whoop your old ass, man.
Now we'll look at some methods and styles. And remember, just before we continue, this doesn't clash with digital note-taking software at all. And we're going to see how you can integrate them seamlessly, which, to be fair, I think I've done. So we'll see that. And you know what? It's pretty easy as well. There's nothing fancy going on. So stay tuned. So how do you think on paper? Well, first, you need the tools. And you could go to the bargain bin, grab some shitty notebook, get a Bic. You're good to go, right? It's not that deep. Except it is. It is that deep. Because you want your writing to feel good. You want to have fun while doing it. You want to give it this romantic tinge that actually makes you want to write more. So yeah, I mean, investing an extra fiver into some decent equipment, it's not going to be the end of the world, is it? Aside from creating a nice atmosphere in your room so you can write with a clear mind, it helps to get some half-decent equipment. And decent does not mean expensive, absolutely not. Muji makes great notebooks for next to nothing. And a tier above that, I like Moleskine, I like Leuchtturm, I like Dingbat. The paper's great, they feel nice, there's a nice leather on the front. It does the trick and it's not expensive at all. For me, durability matters because these go through a lot. I travel a lot with these notebooks. A cat pissed on this, which was unfortunate. It's been chewed up by the usual suspect. So really for $10, $20, $30, you can get a solid notebook that's going to take you far. Perhaps even more important is the pen, because you really don't want a shitty pen that you have to squeeze down to apply pressure and, bleeds ink or whatever. You want something, again, not expensive, that makes the writing feel good and fluid. It's a night and day difference, trust me. It's a bit of an NPC list, but I'm going to put some of my favorite affordable pens on screen now, maybe in the description as well. Now onto the actual methods of note-taking. My basic everyday style of note-taking is that as I watch or read, I mentally categorize that information by defining a subheader. And that subheader is going to capture essentially what's coming up. So what you're essentially doing here is writing a contents page for the content you're consuming, and then filling in the blanks, the actual information in between. Now, sometimes these subheadings are obvious. They're already defined by the author, and it's clear how it's divided. Other times, like in, a podcast or a video, it might be a bit more vague, and the job falls on you to actually defining what parts make up the whole. And that's interesting because it makes you guess what's coming, and it's a good exercise of thought in itself. You might get it wrong, but it's still good to have a try because that mental categorization of what's coming up, that's a good thinking exercise in itself. Under each subheading, I write down the important points and the major takeaways. And what I'll do is I'll usually open with a statement or a main point and then break it down into subpoints or lines of reasoning. I like to use arrows here because I think they look nice. If there's a key person or a key event or a key name, I like to box that to make it easy to see. And of course, if I need a table or a diagram to visualize something, I'm going to do that. Now, I have patented this style, so please try not to copy it or I will get my Israeli lawyers onto you. Closely related is the mind map. And these are great for learning about a topic because it forces you to split it up and address each component individually. And then, of course, you see how they connect. And you see visually how they all come together in this network. Just like your knowledge, they're fluid and they connect, and they can be as big or as small as you wish. Next up, we have what I think are one of the most fun styles, and there's many terms for it. You can call them brain dumps, you can call them streams of consciousness, or schizophrenic rants. And the line between those three is quite thin, let's be honest. This is truly writing to think. Like, you are thinking on paper, as you think. Wow, what a great sentence. Oh my goodness, I need to quit this job. I need to quit YouTube. What I mean is that you're writing at the same pace as you're thinking. They become one and the same. You don't think about something and then write it to make sure it's okay. You literally pour it out on paper in the most raw, unfiltered format. And that is great for, you know, digging something out of there, for finding out what you mean to say, who you are. It's pretty much journaling, where you have no concern about the quality or the substance of the writing itself. That's not the point. Maybe you're walking yourself through an emotion, or you're pouring out this train of thought, or you're just trying to understand something a bit better by interacting with it. I don't do this much anymore because I prefer to basically mumble to myself like a tweaker. I like to speak out loud and walk myself through what I'm thinking. It's a bit like crazy, but it works. It's the same idea. For a more formal way to learn, you can try writing mini essays. And I've talked about these a lot because I love them. They're short pieces of writing that cover a single point or idea. And what they are is that they're short enough to be fun and approachable, but also long enough to actually flesh out what you mean to say, rather than just a single bullet point or, you know, a quick rough note. I have loads of videos on these, so do check them out afterwards. Another good method of learning here is to write book reviews. So as you read something, you write, you know, you keep a track of the main themes, the things you liked, the writing style, and you just give it this sort of analysis, whether it's shallow or deep. My system's a bit maybe weird, where I use this key to represent each feature, and then as I'm reading and I find that feature, I mark it out with the key so I can look at it later. And again, I have a video on this, so do check that out after. And it's just crazy, I keep providing. Like, what can I say? Sorry. One underrated strategy is to use Q&As. So the idea is that when you're learning about a topic for the first time and you know nothing, you write down a series of questions that you want to be able to answer. And so as you read, as you pick up new things, you do your best to give an answer as a sort of proof that you've learned something new and understood it. And listen, I don't do any of this really, but on the more practical side, journals, or notebooks rather, are great for things like habit tracking, morning pages, whatever, delegation, all this productivity stuff I don't really care for, but it's good for that. Finally, we arrive at the big question. Have I betrayed Obsidian? Am I a traitor? Have I accepted money from APAC? Well, no, because I use Obsidian every day. So how does that work? Well, what's going on here? What I do is I split up my learning to exploit the strengths of both formats. So I get the best of both worlds, essentially. Handwriting is thoughtful and it's flexible, but it lacks any real ability to make broad connections or store stuff effectively, especially when you've, you know, piled up a lot of notes across the years. Digital notes may be weaker for the actual in-the-moment learning, but there's infinite space, they are infinitely organizable, and they are just neater. So how do I rip out the best of both worlds? Well, I split my note-taking into two parts, the actual note-taking on paper, and then I archive things on the computer. Everything in the notebook is temporary, and it exists just to help me learn. So it's first drafts, it's rough notes, revision exercises. They could burn tomorrow for all I care, it doesn't matter, they're temporary. And what I like to do afterwards is, if I feel it's necessary, if I feel it's important, I will type those notes up into Obsidian in a more formal and polished way, usually as atomic notes or, you know, as more polished drafts. Now you might be thinking, brother, this is so redundant. Are we just typing up the same exact words a second time? Well, no, we're not doing that. But even if you did do that, it would still be worth your time, and this is why. When you transfer from paper to your PC, we're doing three very important things. First, when you type up rough notes into your computer, it gives you a chance to go over them again. It's spaced repetition, essentially. You can recap them, solidify them, and make them stick for a longer period, because you're not going to remember everything you read immediately. You need to go over it again. Secondly, as you type things up, it gives you a chance to edit them, because I never copy word for word from my notebook to Obsidian. I always edit it, I always improve it, I always change things, I always correct myself if I've made mistakes, and that acts as almost a filtering process. You go from a worse set of notes and knowledge to something a bit more better and more polished, more clear. And again, that process helps you think about what you're writing and therefore you learn more. And finally, I like to use Obsidian to actually structure my thoughts. I give everything a note, a tag, I put it in the index, I link it to other ideas, and it creates a sort of personal reservoir of my knowledge. And I'm not saying it's a replacement for what's up here, but it's good if you need to return to something, if you need to use it for a writing project, if you're lost, if you're looking for inspiration, you form this personal sort of wiki or network, which allows you to, well, it's a second brain. That's what they call it. It's a tool because it is the second brain. Some people say this is a waste of time. They say, oh, this is far too complicated for me. I just use Apple Notes. I keep it simple. It's like, yeah, this is also simple. And the very act of tagging things and linking things, that in itself is a form of learning because you're forced to think about what you're doing. You're not just arbitrarily throwing bullshit onto your notes. You're actually giving them structure and order and logic. And so even if it feels like something slow and sluggish at first, you're doing yourself a favor. And again, I'm not some supremacist, do what you want, right? But let's not dismiss that part. Organization can be as valuable as the writing itself. I don't know why my hater was this posh English guy, but he is. And listen, my system is not perfect, and it never will be perfect. I don't care about that. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm not trying to spend half an hour archiving each note and using like bullshit GitHub coding, fucking, I don't know what they do. I'm not doing any of that. I'm keeping it simple, basic links, basic tags. And that is a good compromise between not wanting to kill yourself and actually getting stuff done. Now, whenever I need to revisit a note for a project or I need to find something related to a concept, I can do that. And because I put 30 seconds of my time in, you know, a year ago or months ago, it's made my future life easier because I can, again, have that spatial thinking going on without having to necessarily remember every single little thing I wrote. But look, as always, it's just my way. And even though my way is objectively correct and superior to whatever you're doing, it's just me. So you have to figure things out on your own. You have to experiment. You have to make mistakes. You have to actually figure out what you need versus what a YouTuber needs. That's the point. It's the trial. The trial is what matters. If you're interested in more Obsidian and note-taking, then I'll link some videos you'll like on screen. And of course, tell me what you thought. Tell me how you think on paper. I love to hear the comments. It's helpful for everyone else. And again, thank you so much for watching. I appreciate it.